All right, I hope you got your Bible. I want to help you a few minutes tonight, if I can, and turn to Genesis. Let's start in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Amen. This thing here says, funny how we call God our Father and Jesus our brother, but find it hard to introduce them to our other family.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's funny how we demand justice for others, but expect mercy from God. It's funny how we can't think of anything to say when we pray, but don't have any difficulty thinking of things to talk about to a friend.
Right.
Amen. Genesis chapter 5, and some of you this will be familiar, and others that maybe you've never heard it before. We'll just start verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him. Now, I believe that Enoch had fellowship with God. Wouldn't you say that was right?
Yes, sir.
I believe Enoch began fellowshipping with God about 65 years old. Now, ain't that something? A lot of people think when you get old, it ain't no hope, you know, and people get hard. No, sir, this man was a senior citizen before he ever started walking with God. And the reason was because of the birth of a son. Ain't it strange how when most people, not everybody now, but it's strange how most people, when they have a child, they'll start thinking about their life and their walk. Amen? I remember when we had our first child, I thought, man, I better straighten up. If this little girl's going to follow me, she's going to be in a mess. And so I got thinking about getting straight. Amen. It took a few years to get that way, but I thought about that a lot. As my children were born and as they began to grow, I thought that. I remember I really got kicked out of school in the 10th grade. They said I quit because I didn't show up enough. And I've always loved reading, loved studying, had no problem learning things. I got job after job and promotions and learned how to do things. But as my kids were growing up, my wife came to me one day, and we were still young. She said, if you're going to preach to your children that they got to finish high school, you need to finish too.
Amen.
I said, I'm about, 30 years old. And she said, well, go get your GED. So I went and took my GED. They had a pretest. I went to the adult place where you go up there to see. And I had a pretest. It was about 2 hours long. And the woman looked at it. She said, let me go get the manager. And he came out there. He said, son, this is the best grade I've ever seen on GED. He said, just go on and take it. You don't need to take any classes. I said, well, I went out to York Tech and they told me I needed to take 2 years of classes. He said, they wanted 2 years of money.
Amen.
He said, you don't have to take, said, you're a little weak in math, but all those other things you make grade in, you'll make up for that grade. He said, go on, take it. You'll pass it with flying colors. And I did, but I never would have done that if I hadn't had children. I never would have. And so it's strange how a man will have children or even a woman will have children and they'll realize the responsibility of raising somebody else and leading somebody else, and they'll begin to look toward God. I really believe that. I believe a lot of people think that a funeral is the best time to witness to people and try to get them to God. I don't agree with that. Death is the end of something. Most people don't pay it much attention. It's the end of something. It's the beginning of life when you need to talk to people, when they're having children. And God and their conscience will convict them about their lives then. That other guy's gone. They're not going to be convicted by his life. But besides that, he may not even live for God. And they put him in the ground, forgot him. But those children, they got to live with them for a long time. And that's their responsibility. And that's what he did. He had a birth of a son. And over 65 years old, this man got right with God. Started walking with God. And he didn't do it young. He did it old. And now old people come to church and they'll say, preacher, I would do something, but I done got too old. And I say, you still breathing, ain't you? As long as you've got breath, you can serve God. He gave you the breath to serve Him. He didn't give you the breath to sit home and watch. I don't even know what's on regular television anymore. He didn't give you all that breath to sit home and talk about somebody else other than Him. Start serving Him when you're old. By the way, you got more time. You have less debt. Come on. You have less responsibility when you get older. Amen. Now, when you're young, you're busy making a living and raising children and paying for stuff and working overtime. But when you get old, like you, when you get old, you ought to be more available. Senior citizens should not quit on God. They ought to be the busiest people in the church. Amen. I see a few heads nodding. Now, He did a once and for all complete separation from sin and walked with God. One day He was walking away from God and living like everybody else in the world. And then the next minute, He's walking with God, completely turned around, 100%. He didn't go to confirmation classes. He didn't go to discipleship classes. He didn't go to a Bible study. He didn't go to a revival. He just turned to God. He repented and turned around, went the other way and started walking with God. That's what it takes. It's a one-step program. Watch out for these people that say seven steps to salvation. Number one, turn around. Turn around. It's called repentance. Turn to Him. Amen. Let Him do the rest. Amen. Now, He didn't just get right with God. He stayed right with God for 300 years. Amen. Stayed right with God for 300 years. Most Baptists can't do it a week. They come in here, they leave Sunday. Glory to God, that was good, preacher. You're the best preacher in town. This is the best church in town. And the next week, they show up for one service, dragging in here. And they done got out in the world, and the old world beat them up and everything, you know. And they come dragging here, they say, pray for me, preacher, bless me. Well, if you'd have walked with God, you wouldn't be dragging, amen. For 300 years, nobody had to coax him. Nobody had to beg him. Nobody had to push him or prod him. He just made a decision one day, I have decided to follow Jesus. And he did it. That was it. 300 years. I meet people sometimes, I say, you're a Christian? They say, I used to be. I said, then you never were.
That's right.
Christianity is not a used to be. It is a is or it is a ain't. Amen. I'm sorry, that's not good English. I know. It is either a is or it is a aren't. Is not. Okay. Well, in South Carolina, it's ain't. But anyway, you either are or you are not. You can't walk with him a year and then decide you're not going to be a Christian. If you've ever decided, it's because he put that in you to start with, and you can't walk away from it. My wife and I were doing our Bible reading this morning, and it says that he gives us the earnest of the Holy Spirit in us, and that's in expectation of what we're going to give. Heaven. And that's a little bit of heaven living in us. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know what the Holy Spirit of God is? He is eternal life.
Amen.
So if you receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in, so you receive eternal life.
Amen.
How long is eternal? 2.5 years? 3 weeks? Up till baptism? Up until you get tired of going to church, or the preacher hurts your feelings, or somebody didn't shake your hand, or they stole your seat. Whatever. Look, he got right with God, and he stayed right with God for 300 years. You say, well, that was a different age, preacher. You're right. It was Noah's time. And Noah's time was worse than this time.
That's right.
God looked down to earth in Noah's time. He said, man is so wicked and earth is full of violence and hatred and wickedness. And he said, man's heart is on evil continually every day, every minute of every hour. His heart's on evil continually. So therefore, listen to me. His time was harder than our time. Don't think just because we're living in the modern age, we're living in the worst time there's ever been. I got news for you. Noah's time was worse than this time. Now, destruction's coming again, but it ain't here yet.
Right.
And here's old Enoch. He walked with God during Noah's time. For 300 years, he walked with God in Noah's time, not our time. A lot harder than what we have. Amen? And he, nobody had to push him and nobody had to pump him. He didn't have a constant encouragement. He didn't have a church. He didn't have a pastor. And he didn't do it because his wife said so. He did it because he made a decision one day, I'm going to follow him.
Amen.
He had a baby boy and he said, I need to get right with God. And he turned to God and the Bible said he walked with God and he walked with God for 300 years. And Baptist church members can't do it for 3 consecutive weeks. They can't do it enough to show up in Sunday school. They can't do enough to show up on Wednesday night. They're walking with something else. They're walking in something else. Amen? Now, he made a commencement of fellowship with God as an old man. And he immediately separated himself from sin and separated himself from the world. And he walked a different way than what he was walking. And he never changed his mind and nobody ever persuaded him to. And he didn't have some crook on television preaching, if you do this, you'll get rich. And send me your money and I'll make more out of it. He didn't have all that. And he didn't have some woman preacher on television telling little sad stories to make you cry and feel bad about yourself. No, sir. He made a decision. He commenced to walk with God as a senior citizen. And he walked with God for 300 years with no encouragement, no church, no pastor, no organization, none of those things. But he had God. He had God. That's the difference. I'm afraid a lot of church members just don't have God. That's the problem. They've never met him. They've never been born again. They might have joined the church. They might have gotten baptized. They might have turned over a new leaf. But have they turned around? That's the difference. Now I've been saved since 78. I've been preaching since 81. And I've seen them come and I've seen them go. And I used to wonder why. But I think I finally figured this thing out. They never turned around in the first place. Old Billy Sunday, the great Billy Sunday, the last of the great Presbyterian evangelists, said this. He said, I'm afraid the problem in the church is not we got too many backsliders. He said, I'm afraid the problem is we got too many that never slid forward in the first place. Amen. Now, he didn't say his wife told him to. He was just faithful. He was faithful. And he was faithful. And when everybody else was mean and arrogant and unfaithful and wasn't following God, he was faithful. He put his finger to check which way the wind was blowing today or what CBN or CNN or Fox or ABC or the latest denominational thinking was. He got his eyes on the Lord and he just stuck with the Lord, and whatever you want to do, that was your business. He was going to follow God. That was it.
Yes, sir.
He had something more important than that. He was raising a boy now.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we all feel like quitting. But if you look behind you and see who's following you, it'll stop you from quitting.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, he had this continuing fellowship, but then there was a consummation. There was a bringing together completely. Now, me and my wife dated when we was teenagers, but when we got married, we consummated that marriage and we became one flesh. Now, he was walking with God, but then one day God said, I like you so much, I don't just want you down here, I want you to go home with me. I want you to go home with me. And so, the Bible says he was translated that he should not see death.
Amen.
That word translated means just what you're thinking does. He was changed from one thing to something else. He was changed.
Right.
Just like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 through 16 says, that we're going to be changed.
Amen.
And we're going to be in a moment, twinkling by. And 1 Corinthians 15 says that this body is going to be resurrected and this mortal is going to put on immortality.
Amen.
This right here. And this flesh, look, we're going to have a glorified flesh.
Amen.
One day we're going to be walking along just like he was. Now, he never heard a trumpet and he didn't come out of the grave. He just walked off in the glory. There wasn't any fiery chariot. There wasn't any angels bands. There wasn't any rapture. He was just walking with God one day and God just walked him on up in heaven. I can see it now. He just walked him on up in heaven. And he's there now. He's there now. And one day that trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we're supposed to comfort one another with those words.
Amen.
We don't have a stopping place. We don't have places, a crossroads where we can decide to go to the right hand or to the left. Jesus said we're on that narrow way. And few there be that find it. And there's no getting off places. And there's no stop signs. And there's no quitting places.
Right.
I'm sure there are many times that Enoch, he lived in that wicked, violent world before the flood. Don't you think that things tried to hinder him? Don't you think people probably said, Enoch, why don't you give up this religion? You done gone religion crazy. That's what they say about some of y'all since you got saved. Your kinfolk say, you done gone religion crazy. I know they do you. And they'll say, you done gone you too. And you done gone religion crazy. You read the Bible. You quote scripture. You pray out loud. You talk about Jesus. You done quit smoking and drinking and chewing and hanging around with people that doing. Amen. And what's wrong with you? You let go a little bit. You know they'll want you to back down. Just back down just a little bit. You don't have to quit going to church. Just don't go so much. You don't have to read the Bible so much. You don't have to quit praying. Just don't pray so much. And don't pray out loud. My goodness, you're scaring people.
I was over at the hospital yesterday seeing that family that lady was passing away. And I didn't know them. I met the man one time. And the son was kind of nervous. He was real nervous. He got up and left, come back several times. And so I said, and it was a daughter and her dad. And the son and mama was back there. And I said, I'm not y'all's pastor. I don't even know if you got a pastor. I said, but could I pray for y'all?
He said, preacher, we want you to pray for us. And I think he meant when I got home. I said, well, let's pray right now. Hold my hands. So now if you ever want to see a sinner get nervous, hold my hand, pray out loud now. We're going to pray out loud. And I started praying out loud and everybody in there got quiet, you know. You don't have to be so religious. I'm sure they heard that more than one time, but he couldn't find a stopping place. For 300 years, he couldn't find a stopping place. He just kept on going until God took him up. Now that walk of faith that started around 65 years old is still going. He's still walking by faith. He's not dead. He's walking by faith. He's up there walking now. Now I know we talk about our loved ones dying and going to heaven and all that, but that's a spiritual body. They'll get their earthly body renewed whenever the rapture happens and we get resurrected and they get joined together. But right now they have a spiritual body. He don't. He still has his body. He didn't die. He walked off into glory. Him and God went home together. They've been sitting at the house together ever since. Amen. His life
think about this. His life of separation from the world and the flesh and the devil and the things of this world. Now, he separated himself from this world. You got to understand that. He walked with God. You can't walk with God and be entangled in the world at the same time. God won't have it. Now, that separation, that one day, one act, it says he started following God. That one day, that one act, and he turned directions and he started walking with God and fellowshiping with God. And by doing that, he separated himself from all those other things that would separate him from God. And that one act of separation led to the supreme, ultimate act of separation. He got to go to heaven. You know, I tell people, don't get too attached to this old world. You ain't going to be here long.
That's right.
You ain't gonna be here long. Well, preachers don't talk like that. My granddaughter was over at the house the other day. My daughter and my granddaughter from Georgia, and I got me a new recliner, but it doesn't look like a recliner. It's got wooden arms and sides on it. It looks like a nice piece of furniture because the lazy boy done made me lazy. and I done wore that thing slap out. So I got me a recliner. And my granddaughter got it, she said, man, this is nice. Oh, wow, this is nice. Papa, what'd you do with the other one? I threw that other one away. It wore out. I said, but I think this will be the last one I get. She said, why you say that? I said, because I'm about to turn 65 years old. This will probably be the last recliner I ever buy. She said, don't say that. You know how people do that. You go to the hospital and they're dying. You say, can I pray for your daddy? He's dying. They said, no, don't say that. They don't want to talk about that ultimate separation. But when you start walking with God, it doesn't scare you. The sting's taken out. The fear's taken out of death. We don't fear death. Amen. Now, I fear sickness. I fear pain. I'm a man. I can't take pain. I've never had a baby. Some of y'all catch on to that. That's wild. Women can take pain. They've had children. Amen. But a man ain't never had children. We can't take pain. Amen. Pain scares me. Yeah. I didn't stay in the room when my daughters were born either. I did what the Bible said. I waited in the waiting room. I think that's somewhere in the Bible. It's got to be because I wasn't staying in there. Amen. That's why you pay them doctors thousands of dollars for. Amen. Amen. Besides that, I was in there when my daughter, Suzanne, was giving birth, and she ran me out of the room. She said, shut up! Get out! Get out! She was screaming. I got out. Somewhere in the Bible it says, man shall wait in the waiting room. Somewhere. But I'm not scared of death. I'm not scared of that. I want to walk with God till He calls me. Amen. Walking with God's not a chore to me. Not walking with God's a chore.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so he walked off in the glory. Life of separation ended in the ultimate separation. Did you know he left no great bank account? He left no great kingdom. He left no great legacy. Didn't leave a lot of stuff. But he left the greatest testimony that could ever be said of a man on planet Earth.
Right.
He walked with God. Amen. I don't know who's going to preach my funeral. Ain't going to be none of y'all. I already got y'all just playing. Don't. But I want him to say, he might not have been much, but he tried to walk with God. No other man could that ever be said of than Jesus Christ himself.
That's right.
And all the reason he could say that is because he was God. God in the flesh. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Now he walked with God.
Amen.
But that was God in him. Enoch didn't have God in him. Enoch had God on him and around him. But at that dispensation, he didn't have God in him.
Right.
And he walked with God. Been trying to get a head start, a marker for my mama's grave. I think I finally got it settled. But you know, we don't say much on those markers anymore. There's an old cemetery back here, and most of y'all, you wouldn't even know it. There used to be an AME Zion church right over here on the other side of our property. I think it burnt down. There's a bunch of wood and stuff burned up back there. And the old church cemetery is right out there. And some of the headstones are so old, you can't read them anymore. But they used to write things on headstones. I think on my mama they put mother, I'm not sure, but you know, you go to these old cemeteries, it says things. And some of them talk about the rapture, and some of them talk about being saved, and some of them talk about, girls talks about being a good mother or a good father. Some a good soldier. All kinds of things. And I quote this one all the time, but it fits real good right here. The one that I read down at Lanceville Canal, that old cemetery out in the woods. Man, his wife in the 1800s, I think it was 1881 or something like that. I don't remember now. But the graveyard was all grown up when I found it. They've cleared it up now and worked on it. But man, his wife died same time. I don't know what happened. You know, back then, who knows? But he said, go home, my friends, and dry your tears, for here I shall lie until Christ appears. And on that day I shall arise and see you with my immortal eyes. Oh, my goodness. I think those people walk with God, don't you? Now, wouldn't that be a good legacy to leave to your children, your grandchildren? I just wonder, what kind of fellowship with God do people have? I wonder that when I look at people. I read somewhere 11,000 people a day go down this road and 11,000 go back up it every day. And I wonder, out of those 11,000 people, I wonder what kind of legacy they're going to leave. You ever thought about that? If we see all these people I get aggravated with traffic, my patience is not good and all that stuff, you know. But I don't lose my religion. I just get mad and get over it, you know. Blow a horn every once in a while. But, but you think about people at Walmart, you go to the store, you go to places like that. Even at church, you think, do these people walk with God? Do they know God? And I'm sad to say that most people don't know God. So naturally, they don't know how to walk with God since they don't know God. I mean, we were like that. I didn't know God. I looked for God in the stars and UFOs and science and all that stuff until Mark Field, 1978, when he introduced himself to me personally, and I got born again that day. He revealed himself to me through the scriptures and by his spirit, and that day I received him, and he gave me a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit. He took the scales off my eyes. Now I know God.
Amen.
And we're so quick to look at people and say, heathen? Weirdo, pervert. Yeah, but they don't know God. Lady Gaga wrote that song about being a homosexual. She said, I was born this way. And she's right. She was born a sinner.
Right.
She chose that particular sin. But wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, all have gone, come short the glory of God. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. You have to be born again, and unless God reveals himself to you, you can't walk with God.
Right.
And they seek for him in all kinds of things. Drugs, alcohol, sex, the stars, Ouija boards, all that stuff. They don't know God. And they're confused. And I'm just grateful that God interrupted my life. He interrupted my life. And he introduced himself to me. And now I get to walk with him. And like the old song says, he walked with me and talked with me. And he tells me I am his own. I ain't nobody. I come from nothing and nowhere. And listen, now my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I got a mansion in heaven. My name, I got a new name. Old name ain't no good. I got a new name somewhere up there in the rock. I don't even know what it is. He's going to break the rock up one day and show me what my name is.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It ain't going to be Clarence. I'll tell you that. Amen.
A lady asked one day, said, "What's your name?" I said, "Well, my real name's Clarence." She said, "What?" I said, "Clarence." She said, "What?" I said, "Down at Walmart, they have Clarence sales." She said, "Oh, yeah, I got you, Clarence." She didn't know it was Clarence. She thought it was Clarence. But hey, my name's written in the Lamb Book of Life. I'm never going to die. I'm going to live as long as God lives. I'm going to walk off one day into glory, not like Enoch did, but I'm going to be translated a different way at the last trumpet. I'm going to be translated. I got to quit. But I wonder, outside of Christ, you have no walk with God. You're just walking all alone. And did you not notice when you were lost and going to hell, even in a crowd, a lot of times you felt all alone? I've always been a loner. Amen. But I've never felt comfortable in crowds. I mean, you say, "Well, you're a preacher, you're a pastor." Well, this is a calling, this is a gift he gives me. I don't like crowds. I don't like parties. I don't like those things. But did you not notice when you didn't have God, you was lonely and you walked alone? You're scared of your own shadow, man. Something go creak in the night, it scares you to death. Every car wreck, you thought you was going to die and go to hell any minute, you know. But then one day he introduced himself to you. Now you walk with him, you have no fear anymore. I don't fear anything. Since he saved me, I have no fear. Really. I mean, like Paul said, why should I fear? The worst thing you do is kill me and then I wake up in heaven. Why should I be afraid? So outside of Christ, you have no walk with God. If you're saved but not separate from the world, you have a limited walk with God. Just like the prodigal son, his father was still his father, and his father still loved him, and his father still wanted to help him, but he had separated himself from the father. The father didn't separate himself from him. He separated himself from the father, and he was living in the pig pen. The father was still what he was. He never changed. And when he went home, he saw Daddy, and he thought Daddy might have changed, was mad at him. No, sir, Daddy was happy to see him. He still had fellowship with him in name and heritage and all these things, but he was out of the presence and the worship of his father, and he separated himself. So he still had a walk with God, but it was a separate walk. But if you're saved, you're trying to live for God, you're walking with God, and he's walking with you. And that doesn't mean you're perfect. You still got that old sinful flesh you're carrying around. It'll be glory to get rid of that one day and wake up in heaven. But we need to have that testimony when we go. And it says, "For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." I'm not real good at it, but I want to. I'm not always successful at it. But I sure try. But before I was saved and didn't walk with him, I didn't care. But now I'm saved, I care. I have an affection for the Father. He has an affection for me. And I'm happiest when I'm walking with him, not away from him. So what's your testimony? If you died today, could they write down on your headstone that you pleased God? If you're not saved, you can't. If you're saved but you're not living for him, you can't write that on there. But if you're doing the best you can and you're keeping short accounts with God, and 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." That's a continual cleansing. That's a walk with God, see. Amen. You say, "Well, I sin." Confess it. Turn away from him. Go on. Do you walk with God? Let's stand. Father.